Yo, what is up, everyone? This is the Twice Over Film Club, and I'm your host, Faraz. Today, we're previewing Elizabethtown from 2005, directed by Cameron Crowe. This episode has no spoilers, but we get into why we're watching this movie, what our expectations were, and then we finish it off with what our scores were for the film. Check out thetwiceover.com to see how it stacked up, and if you're new here, check out all the other movies we've done on that same website. If you got any suggestions for us, just hit us up at thetwiceover on the social media platform of your choice. Alright, let's get on to the preview. Yusuf and Farhan, what's up, guys?
Hello, hello, can you
What's
hear me?
Going on, guys?
Hey, it's been a while since just us three have done a movie.
Yeah, I know, right? Finally we could shed Fahad, like, ugh.
Who's gonna mention the color density, though? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what that... I'm all thrown off with the color palette, so...
I watched this movie in black and white until Fahad tells me otherwise,
so. Yeah.
Today, we are gonna be talking about Elizabethtown, 2005 film. It was directed and written by Cameron Crowe. This is our second Cameron Crowe film that we're doing. First one that we did was Almost Famous. I believe, Farhan, you did select this one for Yusuf and I to watch. You also selected Almost Famous for us to watch. But I think it was Fahad instead of Yusuf. You want to talk about why you selected this movie?
I'm like one of the only people in the world who likes this movie. And I think I'm just a sucker for Cameron Crowe. So I selected this movie for Yusuf because I kind of wanted to get back at him for making me watch Three Idiots. That's part one. And
I'm never going to get over that choice, am I? I'm never going
to
live it down.
No. And I don't know. And I kind of wanted to showcase some Cameron Crowe for Yusuf because he wasn't in an Almost Famous. So
can we talk a little bit about Cameron Crowe in general? I mean, he's got a lot of movies that people have heard of, but to me that wasn't a name that I immediately knew until I looked at his filmography.
Yeah, he is one of those people that has a cultish following in movies, in film. So you either know him or you don't. But you'll know his movies if you're into movies at all. Everybody knows Almost Famous. Everybody knows Jerry Maguire,
right? Yeah. Ultimate classic, right? In the rom-com space, especially.
Right. So those are his biggest movies for sure. And the other movies, like We Bought a Zoo, this one.
Vanilla Sky.
Like a couple others. Like
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Like, you know, you know all these names, even if you haven't seen them all, right?
Right. I think this is definitely one of the lesser known ones, but it's probably outside of Almost Famous. This is... probably my favorite Cameron Crowe movie outside of Almost Famous.
Yusuf, just for some background, Farhan got a lot of shit from us in high school for loving this movie and making us watch it.
Which, by the way, they never watched. They just gave me shit for it.
Okay, well,
I just want to clarify.
I mean, this movie is a full 2 hours in runtime.
It is for
a rom-com. So, I mean, you got to carve out a solid chunk of your day to watch this movie. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's 2005. So we were what? Probably early
15,
high school,
14.
Right? So this movie, though, like you might know like the entire cast of this movie, like the main cast, right? You might know every single person before you watch this movie, right? Like that's how much of a star-studded cast it is, especially when we're talking about for 2005. Orlando Bloom and Kirsten Dunst, right? Those are two very powerful, you know, actors in that time period, especially. And then, like, you have Susan Sarandon, Alec Baldwin comes in, Jessica Biel, Judy Greer, right? It just doesn't stop. I can see the appeal from that standpoint for sure.
Yeah, and there's a ton of people who love doing or who would love to do Cameron Crowe movies. He just doesn't do them very often. But like in We Bought a Zoo, there was Matt Damon and Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, like huge names. You know what I mean? Kate Hudson, Billy Crudup, and they're Almost Famous. And he's got Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire, Vanilla Sky, like big. He draws some big names, man. But I do have to be objective here, and I'm gonna, you know, maybe we'll end with this. This movie just holds a special place in my heart for whatever reason. There's certain scenes in this movie that I just will never forget. But being objective, I mean, this is a pretty trash movie. We can all agree on that, right?
I'll be honest. I was kind of surprised to see like the amount of criticism this movie has.
Consistency plays a big, big, big part in whether a movie is going to be great.
Consistency for Cameron Crowe, because this is a purely Cameron Crowe movie. Like, what did they expect otherwise?
It is. But if you look at his movies, there's only been one or two that have gotten great reviews, right? And he's been consistent in his delivery in those movies. In movies like this one, we could talk about it more, but it's not. There's certain things that are just not consistent. The acting is not consistently good. The writing isn't consistently good. Mm. You know,
I think I agree with you like a lot of times, and we sit here and we talk about they made this decision and I didn't like it or I liked it, but like in reality, I could probably justify any decision that a director makes in terms of artistic vision or style or whatever, as long as they stick to it. Right. And it's when you don't see them really connecting the dots. That's when you can really be like, what is going on? Right. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like literally it could be like one person thinks the decision that they made in terms of the cinematography is the worst of all time. And another person says, I really liked the unique thing they went for. Right. It's just like you can justify it in a way however you want to do. But so I agree with you. And I mean, we have to recognize that, right? We may vary on scores for a lot of reasons, but consistency, I think, is one thing that we all look for when we're watching a film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just for reference, IMDb 6.4, Rotten Tomatoes 28%, and Metacritic a solid 45. The twice over, to be seen.
This is hands down the lowest rated movie that I will ever recommend to anybody.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we recorded this episode quite a while ago before we were rattling off our scores towards the end of the previews. In lieu of that, I'm going to go ahead and do it so you guys know and you have an expectation when you watch this movie this week before our discussion next week. This is how it came out. All right, for myself, I gave The Narrative a 60. Farhan gave it a 75. Yusuf gave it a 55. For the writing, I gave it a 90. Farhan gave it an 85. Yusuf gave it a 55. For the acting, I gave it a 65. Both Farhan and Yusuf gave it a 75. For the themes, which we are now calling the intangibles, both myself and Farhan gave it an 80, and Yusuf with a 70. For the aesthetics, I gave it a 60, Farhan an 80, and Yusuf a 60. Now, what does this mean in terms of our overall tally distribution? Check out thetwiceover.com to see how it stacks up in the order of your preference. But the overall range, I can tell you, is 66 and 74. So it can be as low as 66 and as high as 74. All right, so we'll catch you next week with the full discussion. Peace.
Thanks for listening to this production of The Twice Over. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and sharing it with a friend. Want to see what your tally is? Check out thetwiceover.com. All the movies we've done are listed there, as well as what we're watching for the current week. Follow us at The Twice Over on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you can leave us any suggestions, feedback, or comments. And if you're about it, you can also support us on Patreon. The music you hear on this podcast is from Amerigo Gazaway. You can find his work on Bandcamp and Spotify.